some big business in D.C.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. If you throw a rock somewhere in the District of Columbia this weekend, there's a decent chance you're going to hit a finance minister or an economist or somebody who has something to do with trying to fix the global fallout, and most certainly a member of the media covering all of the big meetings there this weekend. We're going to hear from 24 of the biggest economies on planet Earth starting today. Then tomorrow, it's spring meeting time for the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. Among those attending the weekend functions, the Secretary General of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, Angel Gurria, who joins us right now. Thanks for being with us.
I do, Steve.
Sir, what do you hope to achieve in this meeting this weekend?
A number of decisions that were proposed at the G20, now they have to be implemented. First and foremost, the recapitalization of the IMF, new issues of the SDRs, so the special drawing rights. That means giving the IMF the capacity to be able to put fires out and to get them out of these problems.
What do you see some of the risks going ahead and some of the dangers?
Well, first of all, that we don't do enough of these efforts. Because people today are speaking, the efforts have to be big enough, and then they're saying, oh, yes, but there may be inflation down the line. Well, there may be inflation down the line, yes, but I think we'll have a lot of time to see it coming and to deal with it. Right now, the biggest danger, I'd say, is not doing enough today to get out of the hole.
How important do you think is the discussion this weekend of transparency, i.e. tax havens around the world?
It is of extreme importance. We have made more progress there in the last couple of months than we had done in the last 10 years. I have to say that notwithstanding all the work of the OECD, and we have been doing this work for 13 years now, we really could not have done it without the political will, the clout that was provided by these large countries getting together, Germany and France and the UK and the United States, and saying, game over. The tolerance is gone. We are not going to allow any jurisdiction anywhere in the world to aid and abet people who don't want to pay their taxes in full. Not in this crisis, not particularly when we're asking for these huge efforts from the people who are paying their taxes in full and are taking the brunt of the crisis and suffering. This is more progress in the last 2 months than in the last 10 years.
All right, Mr. Secretary General, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Angel Gurria with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Ahead of the meetings, we're seeing a somewhat positive vibe. European shares are up by more than 1%, about 1.5% on average. Asian markets closed mixed today. The Dow yesterday added about 1%, 70 points to close at 79.57. S&P shares added 1% as well, and the NASDAQ gained about 0.3%. Signs point to some gains on Wall Street today, and Ford shares are up 15% in pre-market trading. That's after word this morning from the automaker that in the first quarter it lost $1.4 billion, but that's much less than analysts had expected. Elsewhere in Detroit, Chrysler has a government deadline of next Thursday. To survive with Uncle Sam's help, it has to restructure or file for bankruptcy. Published reports this morning say they will likely do just that. And you know it's a recession if Microsoft reports some trouble. For the first time in its 23-year history as a public company, they reported last night that revenue fell year over year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Spring is here, and that means love is in the air. Time to fire up those house bands and pop the wedding bubbly, all part of the nuptial costs that average 28 large here in the United States. These days, though, many couples are scaling back. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Here comes 2009's more frugal bride and groom. Lindsay Walschlager and her fiancé Justin Johnson had planned a reception at an arts centre in Red Wing, Minnesota. The cost? $3,000 even before the food. The more they thought about it...
Why should we mortgage our future on one day, given the uncertainty of everything?
Instead, they opted for something simpler.
And our favorite campground in the world is in Lake City, Minnesota, and it's right on the shores of Lake Pepin, and it's just gorgeous.
And the covered dining hall overlooking the lake is pretty cheap.
I talked to the campground, and I can rent that for $200, and it already has the tables, it already has chairs, it already has tablecloths.
Lindsay's parents are sharing the cost, but her mother works at a company that's seen several rounds of layoffs lately. That's making everyone more worried about money, and it's prompted Lindsay to downsize the wedding. Millie Martini-Bratton is editor of Brides magazine. She says the recession gives couples a perfect opportunity. They can focus on what they really want in a wedding, and that extends to the guest list.
Right now, it's a little easier to tell people, gee, I'd love to have you come, but I really am on a tight budget, because in reality, everybody is.
Bratton says businesses from venues to florists are ready to negotiate. Brandon Powers is a photographer in southern Georgia. Couples started haggling with him over his package deals earlier this year, so he introduced a la carte pricing.
And I haven't seen, a big change in how much people are spending. They're not necessarily spending less. They just want to make sure that what they're spending their money on are the things that they absolutely want.
He says he's working a lot more do-it-yourself weddings.
Clients and friends and family members of the clients are taking on more of the responsibilities that were done by professionals in the past.
He's seeing fewer videographers, fewer bands, and more iPods. That's all fine with bride-to-be Lindsay Walschlager.
At the end of the day, a wedding is about bringing two families together and celebrating it with the people that you're closest to, and it doesn't need to be more than that.
Even if her future in-laws are still getting used to the idea of a reception at a campsite. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.